It's the 120 podcast. Mikey Fernelli and Ben Hootie coming at you wet off the golf course. We only got 2 2/3 holes through, I want to say. I was on shot four on the fringe. Ben had a birdie look, and we had to just get off the course. We had to drive. We were with our two friends and here in Normal, and we had to go hide under a little storm shelter for a little bit, and then we decided just to phone it in. Got some dinner and then decided to hop on and do it, our episode. We were going to do this tonight after the game was the original plan, but we're going to do it now before the Diamondbacks game two. So obviously by the time this releases Monday, we only have the knowledge of what happened in game one of the Diamondback series and the start of the Western road trip. So this episode will kind of be talking about the main storylines of the Western road trip so far. But first, Mr. Hootie, how was that birdie look for
It was pretty good.
you?
I mean, I'm just a golf guy now. Like,
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, the golf bug.
it's bad. It's bad. This is 3 days in a row golfing. So, man, I don't know. We knew I was gonna get into it, right?
At
But
some point.
the Masters kind of caught on this weekend, and I just watched and watched and watched, and I watched more Masters this weekend than I did the Cubs, which
It's
is
like
probably not a thing I should be admitting on a Chicago Cubs podcast, but we were a little busy this weekend. So
I think most of our listeners would agree, though. I think there was a lot of Masters watching. I think one of my roommates was saying that he was really excited to watch the Masters on Sunday, as was I. And I was like, this is the one Sunday where the Cubs might get bottom TV privileges. Like, I will watch the Masters because, and I'll still follow along with the Cubs game, which I
Well,
did, but.
the thing about the Cubs was it actually kind of worked out in our favor where they
Right.
had the West Coast like
Right.
weekend. Besides Sunday. Sunday
Right.
they played at the same time when
Right.
Gotti was making the walk to the 18th hole. But
Yeah. Yep.
Friday and Saturday, we were busy men this weekend. Let's just say that.
We
We had
were.
a bar crawl and yada yada yada, college things. Got a little
Yep.
busy.
College things only last like a couple weeks longer for me too. Ben's got an
For
extra year
you?
under his belt, but I got to go be a real adult in about 3 weeks, so that's exciting, I guess.
Doesn't mean the end of 120 though.
No, God, no. It means a new beginning of 120. We might actually keep
Ooh.
to our broadcast schedule for once. Speaking of
Oh
which,
my
sorry
God.
about that. We're releasing on a Wednesday. We always say we're going to release on Mondays. This week on Wednesday, next week, we're going to take the off day to record. So we'll be out before the first game against the Houston Astros next week on Tuesday. First, Ben,
Correct.
let's recap the main storylines of this Western road trip. The Cubs lost to the Padres in a 2-1 series, and they beat the Mariners in a 2-1 series. So they split the first part of the Western road trip 3-3. We'll get to some scores in a minute, but first, a couple big bottom lines. Seiya Suzuki is the start. 10-day IL trip. Canario, excuse me, called up in his favor. Only saw Canario run last night in that extra innings win, but we'll see if we see him tonight. And Seiya Suzuki is out for at least 10 days. Many are saying much longer with that oblique injury that has been nagging through his first 3 years of his career.
Brutal loss. Brutal loss. The steel one, it just doesn't even feel that, like the steel one hurt a lot, but this one just feels just so much worse because he's been your MVP thus far this season. Now someone might be stepping up that we're going to talk about later, but yeah, he's been your MVP so far this year, and we talked about it in all of our pregame co or our preseason coverage and just how big of a step up that he was going to take this year from what we saw at the end of last year and just his projections going into this year. And it just really hurts because he was living up to the hype of what Cubs fans were accumulating for him this season thus far. And it just hurts because he finally looked like an all-star caliber player, and who knows how long this thing ends up nagging on for, because same thing happened last year and we thought it was only going to be a short stint and he ended up missing just about the first month of the season. So I really hope that when he comes back, he could just pick up right where he left off. But I don't think you could count on that because we've seen in the past when he's had injuries, he comes back and gets off to kind of a slow start. So this was a big blow. Thankfully, once again, that prospect capital can just come up and hopefully try and do at least half of what Saya was doing with Canario. And we finally get to get a, I think we're going to get a really good look at him over these next 10 plus days. So, yeah, huge blow. But hopefully the bats can pick it up for him. Because he was the Cubs' best player thus far through 16 games.
111 games in his first season, 138 a season ago, had 15 under his belt so far this season, 59 at bats, 11 runs, 18 hits, 13 RBIs. So basically, won a game, went long three times, was off to an incredibly hot start, and was hitting the shit out of the ball, for lack of a better term. Hit the hardest hit ball since 2018 in one of those home games against the Rockies in the rain and the sleet and the snow. Ben, yeah, it's a tough loss. We kind of expected it when they decided to call up Canario, and there was no word on who was going to the IL or who was getting pushed down off the bat. And then I saw on Twitter somebody already had posted that following running out an infield single, Saya kind of hobbled away, and it was like, yep, that's probably the play. And yeah, he's only on the 10-day IL, but that becomes doubled after that, and you never know how long that stint could be. They're gonna have to figure that out, that denomination, soon. But I think what you said there, Ben, at the end is the biggest part of it. One of the reasons Craig Counsell's here is because he uses all of his options. I mean, the first six games of the year, what was it? We saw six different DHs or something like that. It was something crazy. He uses all of his options. Last night, we did not see Canario more than just a pinch running opportunity, which is whatever. But I would think throughout the rest of this Diamondback series and then into the back home series, they will see lots of Canario continuing to play for this Cubs team. He is not afraid to change his lineup, that's for sure. And I think that'll be, if anything, a silver lining to what is a very tough blow early on in the season. I like what you said about comparing it to Steele. Still felt worse because it was the first night of the season. It was this, that, and the other thing. It was an obvious injury. But yeah, this stinks because we've seen the pool of games in 15 games so far, and Saya was well on his way to an MVP season. So we'll have to see how long he's away. Michael Bush,
Hope.
though. Don't mean to cut you off, but Michael Bush.
No, you could cut me off for Michael Bush any day of the week.
You alluded
We
to him a minute ago.
talked about it last week and how he was kind of early season, but he was bursting on the scene in that Dodgers series, just getting big hits, had a home run, that big double in the first inning of that Sunday game, and really ever since then he hasn't missed a beat, right?
Yeah,
What are we at
no.
now? Five home runs in five games?
As we record this, because it changes every night, as we record this, he has had five home runs in five games, totaling to six on the season, good for third best in the league, tied with Mookie Betts, 17 hits, batting 327. He is now tied for the Cubs record for games in a row. He is tied for the MLB record by a rookie for games in a row going long. Should he get one tonight, listeners may know this listening Wednesday. So should he get one Tuesday night, he would be the all-time Major League Baseball record holder in consecutive games with a home run in a row by a first-year freshman rookie player. That's big.
Yeah.
It's big
And
time.
even if he doesn't do it tonight against the Diamondbacks, it's still just such an awesome story considering what happened this offseason with the whole Bush thing. And I've seen a lot of dialogue on Twitter about Michael Bush, not just from Cubs fans, but across the whole MLB because everyone's like kind of saying like, wow, the Dodgers, they finally missed on one, right? Like you
But
could go back to
you weren't gonna pick somebody on that Dodgers team over him is the thing too. You understood the trade at the time.
There is a debate. There is a debate right now about who they decided to pick over Michael Bush, and that's Gavin Lux. That's the one player that's like, oh, they decided they wanted to keep Gavin Lux around instead of Michael Bush. I see. Either way, nonetheless, it just goes back to what a great trade by Jed. It's early in the season, but he is starting to solidify his role as the next great Cubs first baseman, right? I mean, he was the minor league player of the year a year ago, hit so many home runs in AAA. He's what Matt Mervis was essentially supposed to be for the Cubs, and it's
Basically.
just, yeah, and he's already won over the hearts of Chicago. It's just been an awesome story to follow thus far because now that Saya is down, he's been the Cubs' best hitter this year, right?
I mean, he's tied for third in the league with home runs, is what I just said. It's undeniably in the paper that he is the Cubs' strongest hitter right now as it pertains to the last week.
It's awesome. I love that he's getting his chance. And I think even the sweeter part of it is he's getting a chance with the team that's competing for something. Because the Dodgers could have pulled off this trade with any team and he could have gone to Oakland and just been doing this and it's not that big of a deal,
And no one
right?
cares or
It's
knows.
not as cool. He's with Chicago. who's trying to win a National League Central, and the Cubs decided to take a swing on this 25-year-old that had so much potential but was just log jammed back. And the Lavengers, we're just going to keep using that all the time. And he's coming to the Windy City and just turn could be turning himself into one of the best moves of the offseason by any team.
Batting sixth today, the lineup just dropped. Also, Canario in right, batting ninth tonight for your Chicago Cubs. So he's getting the start.
Interesting.
Kyle Hendricks in the bump tonight for the Cubs. By the time you listen to this, it'll be over. Hopefully, he turns it around. But Ben, that's where we can kind of start with this Western road trip, because we saw him start on the 10th against San Diego, and it was kind of more business as usual. Five innings, nine hits, seven earned runs. Just not the Kyle Hendricks we knew and loved over the years. He kind of came back from injury last year and was pretty hot in the late summer. He almost no hit the Giants. He looked okay. We thought maybe he could get a couple serviceable more years. And now it's gotten to the point where Hendricks has three bad starts to start this season. He's 0-3. Let me get up his total ERA. His ERA right now is 12.08, in 12 innings pitched. In three games, he's 0 for 2 technically. Yeah, he said so in the game after the Padres lost, that he felt like he was disappointing his teammates, and he didn't know what, people are debating what his role might be going forward. Obviously, I think the only option is to keep him as a starter, but you hope he can turn it around.
He can't be a reliever.
No.
And that's, I think, the biggest talking point of it all. He has historically gotten off to slow starts in April. So keep that in the back of your head, which doesn't really make sense because the weather is usually colder in April. But the thing about Hendricks is it's just not going well for him right now. And you hope that he could turn it around because, as Mike just said, you can't really make him a reliever. If he keeps this trend up of just not being able to get quality outs in the major league, then what do you do with him? You know what I mean?
You
And
two viewers,
the
you two
go
viewers
ahead.
might have just saw that I'll cut that last little bit out, but you two viewers might have just saw that I got up and plugged in my computer and kind of gave Ben like a finger, like, keep going. I'm just gonna get up for a second. So that's the bonus things you get to see if you watch on the visual. But podcast listeners, you don't get to see that. I'm more of a podcast guy. Like, if I ever listen back to our own show, I listen to the podcast, which is rare. But yeah, Ben.
Something else that looms large is if he continues to struggle, the Cubs are getting some reinforcements back here soon. Jameson Taillon apparently is set to make his season debut on Thursday. So what does that do for the rotation? Because I know we're going to mention two guys later who are just throwing the ball phenomenally right now that I don't think we want to see in reliever roles.
Nope.
Justin Steele is getting closer and closer by the day, right? I mean, we're already near May, and that was kind of the set date of when we're probably going to see Justin Steele back. He started throwing the day after he got hurt. So I don't know. This whole Hendricks thing is weird. I've seen people talk about it on Twitter. If it keeps going this bad, do they send him to that Phantom IL that they threw Jason Hayward on? You can eat the $16 million if you want to because he's going to be a free agent anyways after this season. And also the other part of it too is like, do you really cut him? Like, it just doesn't really make sense to just throw him out for any other team to grab, which I know there would be a team that grabbed him if he was available. So this whole situation's weird. I really hope he gets it together so we can continue to have this good problem of just really great starting pitching depth. But as you said, it is just not going well for him to start the season.
Ben Brown, it's going well. And as you said, Ben, the line keeps getting hotter behind some of these veterans who might be slipping away a little bit. Ben Brown got a quality start yesterday. He's looking really solid through 16 innings pitch. He has two starts now after kind of getting shelled in his first ever outing. He was able to last a couple times, just really phoned in. 4 2/3 shutout innings last night. He looks like he could be really solid. And I'm excited for what we've seen so far from him.
He's nasty. He's been basically flawless ever since the Texas appearance. Going back to Colorado, when he came in after Luke Little in the first inning, and they gave him a start in San Diego where he just looked awesome. And then yesterday was definitely his best start of the season. I think what did they end up saying? 13 straight outs recorded to end his night, something crazy like that. So Yeah, I mean, he is just burst on the scene right away, early here. And that's kind of the beauty of this entire thing where we were complaining and complaining and yelling about make more moves, Jed, make more moves. And maybe Jed just knew that we were going to see this kind of, and Ben Brown obviously came on earlier than we thought, but you know, Ben Brown has been awesome thus far. Michael Bush has been good. We're going to see what we could get out of Canario. Luke Little in his rookie season has been really solid out of the bullpen as well. It just kind of goes back to we underestimate how good this farm system truly can be. And there's still more waiting in the wing.
Ben, not Ben Brown, Ben Hootie. Ben, this is huge because, as you said, Jed has put together a team that he believed in and people are starting to believe in. I mean, his biggest trade of the offseason, per se, was this Michael Bush deal, and at the time seemed relatively insignificant, and now is becoming a huge deal, at least early on in the season. I think it's important to know, kind of looking over the entire Cubs slate as we get more into this Western road trip. Yeah, they went 3-3, but I would say through a couple series here, the only team that's bad that they have played and they swept is the Colorado Rockies. Every
Yeah.
other team they've played is a solid baseball team. You take one out of the Rangers, you take two out of the Dodgers, you take one out of the Padres, two out of the Mariners, and you won last night against the D-backs. A win either the next 2 days would be a series win against the D-backs. And then now you turn the page into relatively easier opponents. The Marlins and Astros are both supposed to be solid, and they have struggled mightily to start the season. And the Red Sox and Mets are undeniably terrible.
Mets have kind of turned it around a little bit. But yeah, it's getting easier compared to where we started. We knew, and who was it? I don't know. It was one of the 670 guys said, I love the fact that the Cubs are starting the season with this tough schedule because it gets to test where they're at early on. What did we talk about? I think I said I wanted to get through April two or three games over 500, and I think that's a really good measuring stick. Right now, they're 4 games over 500. Everything's just looking really good. And you hope that trend continues. You're going back home soon to take on the Marlins and Astros, as you just mentioned, who are both were both playoff teams a year ago, but are struggling mightily. And they're also the Cubs are 5-1 at home this year. They are feeding off that home crowd. So it's, yeah, I really, besides the injuries, and I would say the injuries and some bullpen woes, like Jose Quas, who we don't have to worry about right now. There really hasn't been anything to complain about thus
No.
far this season.
The only
Because
tough moment.
besides, I know what you're going to mention, the eight nothing blown
Right.
lead to the Padres was brutal. That was so 2023 Cubs coded. But thus far, kind of these problems that they had last year, closing out games like they did last night against Arizona. Last night, I was just sitting there, just like my heart's beating. Like, this just has the feeling of 2023 Cubs all over again. They're going to find a way to lose this game like they did all last year. And guess what? They've been able to battle through every single one of those games and get a win. Sunday against Seattle, a 3-2 close game. You're in Seattle. That's a tough ballpark to play in. Usually in 2023 Cubs, they would have found a way to lose that game, managed to pull out a huge victory. These one-run ball games have just, besides the Padres 8-0 collapse, they've just been able to stay in all these close games and close the door.
Cubs win tonight, and the Brewers and Pirates take a loss. The Cubs take the solo lead in the NL Central. It's crazy to be scoreboard watching this
I
early,
was
but
just about to
it
say.
is kind of fun. The Pirates play the Mets. The Brewers play the Friars. Ben, you mentioned that Padres collapse, and I was going to cut you off and say it too, but I think that was mostly Jose Quas, who was sent down to Iowa. A player who, with his submarine mechanics, we always thought could be a decent reliever, made the team this year and just did not deliver by any means. And you want to give more options to a Smiley, to maybe even a Hayden Wesneski if things go the right way, and to a Keegan Thompson, who got the save last night and looked great in his 2 innings pitch. I'm surprised you don't have your jersey on here for the record.
At home, actually, I didn't bring it. Or wait, do I have it? I don't know, but yeah, Keegan Thompson, how about that? That would be, you texted me last night. I was going to sleep, so I didn't text you back, but we could talk about it now. That could be such a huge plus for this bullpen if he finds a way to be able to phone it in and be the Keegan Thompson that we saw in 2022. I'm losing track of years now. I think it was 2022.
I think, yeah.
He was awesome in 22 as a reliever and starter.
Part of
And to,
that random like recession, not recession, but that random like resurgence of Cubs young pitchers steal was good all of a sudden. I mean, the
yep.
second half of 22, the Cubs were terrible, but the second half pitching was like, wow, they could be really good.
Yeah. And he was exactly what you said. He was part of that. Had just he struggled mightily to begin 2023, and it just felt like he lost all of his mechanics. But thus far, we've seen him twice. I think he's thrown 4 innings of no run baseball, which is exactly what you want. It'd be really nice if he could continue the stretch and be a guy that Council can go to for multiple innings. Because as we saw last night, Council, he put him in a high leverage spot in extra innings twice. And he trusted him and wrote him out, and it worked out beautifully.
We watched the game together last night, as we have been doing a couple times recently while we're still both in normal, and I texted Ben at 12:54 a.m. Keegan was pretty damn solid. I forgot he did the 10th and the 11th. Because I was looking back at the box score. That's huge. He could be a huge difference maker for the pen if he's good. And rarely does Ben ghost me. It's always the other way around. And I didn't get text back till 10:30, in which he just said agreed, and then texted me immediately about something radio related. So he didn't want anything to do with me. But now that we're talking in person, I know that he was just ghosting me. But no, I'm the opposite of that. Ben
I
actually has
was.
said that he calls my friends to get a hold of me because I don't check my phone enough.
It's true for anyone that literally, I will be going over to Mikey's, just trying to get in contact with him. Call Mikey twice, nothing. Call one of his roommates, immediate pickup. It's like this motherfucker.
It one of the times when you called me, when you or when you called one of my roommates, the other one was like, "Oh man, is Ben starting a podcast with you now?" And then I said that out loud, and you were like, "Oh, on speakerphone." You're like, "Mikey doesn't answer his phone," and
Literally.
that made me laugh. I was like, "I guess you probably are right." And I
Today
do.
I called you a couple times and you've answered on like first ring, so
Well, I've been a
maybe we're
little bit
changing.
more. I actually added you to my favorites too. So even if I'm in D&D, you pop up.
Okay.
So you've made it that far. So I only have a
Let's
couple
go.
people on that aside from family. So you've made it that far. Congrats. Once I graduate, maybe not.
Damn.
I'm messing. It'll stay on there. Maybe
Damn.
we'll have to finish a golf round before then is the problem.
Dude, you're telling me it was
I had a
horrible out
great
there.
drive on three. I had a great drive, and we had to phone it in. It was like Caddyshack. We were like, "Do we keep going? Is it heavy stuff going to come down?" And we just decided to call it.
We were all shooting pretty well,
Yeah, we were all playing okay.
and
But yeah,
then the rain and thunder decided to strike.
Cubs go into game two of the Diamondbacks tonight. When you listen to this, it'll be ahead of game three of the Diamondbacks tonight. Then they head back home. Ben, one quick thought about the homestand continuing for the Marlins and the Astros.
Yeah, take advantage of the Marlins. We know what happened last year with them. It wasn't pretty early in the season, and that ultimately kind of ended up losing you a wild card spot. So we know now every game matters, even when you're playing game 17 in the desert or whatever it might be. But yeah, you phone it in. Try and knock out at home in a 4-game set a Marlins team that you can say is ve struggling very mightily to begin the season. So take advantage of that. They're already down like 6 starting pitchers to, these injuries that are just killing major league pitching right now. So take advantage of that. Get a series win at home, friendly confines. Probably going to be a beautiful weekend. Summer weather's starting to kick in Chicago, and there's no better place to be.
Be nice. If it wasn't raining, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at one of my favorite segments from last season. I'm bringing it back. We need a little sounder for this. Taking a look at our friends from the South Side. First time since 1907, the Brooklyn Super Bahs, that a team has been shut out 6 times in their first 16. And if anyone saw my Twitter, you would see that I made the research and the joke that was actually the year that Jerry Reinsdorf bought the White Sox, for those who are keeping score at home. So
How about
it's been
that?
a long time, actually. Yeah. And it was actually Tony La Russa's 10th year managing by then too. So it was a long time ago. He was the manager of the Brooklyn Super Bahs. That's a good team name, the Brooklyn Super Bahs. But
Yeah.
they were not a good team. They got shut out 6 times in their first 16 games, and as did the 2024 Chicago White Sox, who are set to play the Royals tonight and are woefully inept. I've talked to a couple White Sox fans in my life, including one of my best friends and my roommate, and it's just pitiful. I mean, I feel bad for them. I do. Like it, this is I'm seeing TikTok edits of an era that never was, an era that won one playoff game. I'm seeing edits of like 2 years ago when TA hit the walk off at the Field of Dreams and stuff, and all the comments are like, this is such a great era for the White Sox. Cub fans will never understand how awesome this was for us. Oh, trust me, we do. We had that time too. We won a ring out of it. You guys got one playoff win against the A's and the Astros, and only one of the years is only a full season. Sorry, it's my soapbox moment.
Mikey Power Hour, where he soapbox about annoying White Sox fans.
It's all over TikTok. I know lots of White Sox fans that I'm fond of. It's just all over TikTok, especially.
They don't bother me that much because I've lived around them for however 21 years of my life. My biggest thing is fucking White Sox fans on Twitter are fucking weird with their obsession of Yoan Moncada. So strange to me. I will never understand how they were so. He had like one good season out of the seven he's been there, and the other seven or the six out of the seven seasons he's been there, he's been played maybe like 30 games. I'll never understand it. It's like I guess it's the same kind of the same way that like us Bears fans are with Mitch. I guess maybe we just got a soft spot for number one overall prospects that just sucked.
Yeah, it's a good comparison actually. Well, and then there was all last year that when because people forget the White Sox went into last season with like still the hopes of this dynastic window alive, and they were finally ridding of TLR, which I'm going to be completely honest. The White Sox won the division with TLR. Pedro Grifol might be worse.
I think they'd rather have Tony La Russa right
Yes.
now.
Pedro Grifol was the hitting coach of a Royals team that was quite possibly more inept. From the year after they lost the World Series until he became the White Sox coach, they were as bad as the 1907 Brooklyn Superbas. And I think Grifol needs to get fired yesterday. I don't know how often you'll see a baseball coach get fired this early on, this midway through a season, especially for a Jerry Reinsdorf franchise, but that's the only way they heat up a little bit. He is,
Did
the experiment's over.
yeah, did you see the report? It was like this weird report from someone basically saying that Jerry knows that he was so bad last year and he should have been fired, but this is the last year of his contract anyways, so they're just gonna let him ride it out. Like, oh my God. How you know how many like pretty solid managers there were available this offseason,
Do you know
including
how? Oh, they have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. You finish your thought.
No, I want to hear you.
They could do the single funniest thing ever. So you watched Winning Time, right? And most people, a lot of people did. We've talked about it in the show before. And like, if you know the history of like the 80s Lakers and stuff, they ended up firing, or Jerry West was their coach before like the Magic Johnson era. And then Jerry West stayed on as like the assistant GM. And then after they fired a coach a couple years into the Magic Johnson era, just as kind of like a fill-in coach before Pat Riley, they rehired Jerry West to like kind of help finishing out a season. Can you imagine if they fired Grifol tomorrow and TLR, who's still like a special counsel on the team and like a Jerry West-esque role, is do you know how great the memes would be? It might bring White Sox fans back if it's just everyone's posting that picture of his hat like this and the sunglasses. Like,
Or him running out there.
yes, like can you imagine how funny Twitter would get if they are just like Tony La Russa will continue, finish out the season as manager or something like that, because he's still technically on payroll. It'd be easy. Who's
That'd
gonna do
be
it instead,
so
Jerry?
funny.
That would be great. That might bring back the White Sox. Honest to God, they have the opportunity to do quite possibly the funniest thing ever.
I will say one last thing before we stop
Wrap
talking about the White Sox.
it.
They might be when Eloy's back today, I know, but when Eloy, Luis Robert, and Yoan Moncada are not in that lineup, might be the worst lineup I've ever seen in Major League Baseball history. At least in my time of watching, might be the worst lineup ever.
Gerrit
It's
Crochet has been
horrible.
a weird bright spot, but he also got tagged for like, I want to say, 5 or 7 runs his last start. So
Yeah,
he, even then, it's not good.
I don't know. Maybe Corey Lee, the catcher that they got from the Astros, has been all right, but like,
Benintendi's been their best.
he sucks though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And someone found his burner account, I heard.
Really?
Yeah, there was like, everyone was making fun of Benintendi on Twitter for his arm because he's got like a noodle arm in left field. And I saw some account was just like, Just kept replying to all these tweets of White Sox fans saying, like, I swear I could throw out a runner before Benintendi does. But this account just kept replying to all these tweets saying, but Benintendi is good in the outfield. He led the league in assists in like two back to back years. And that was like in like 2016 and 2017. Oh my God.
God, hey, this is
And
burning. That's incredible.
the funniest part was he like whoever the burner account was copy and pasted the tweet under like every single person that was making fun of his noodle arm.
Either it's a burner account or it's someone just so faithful to him, like Nico Hoehner's dog, that they're just gonna keep tweeting about it.
Did you see Nico Hoehner's dog made an appearance on the post-game show yesterday?
No,
Or no,
really?
it was either Nico Hoehner's dog or Suzuki Believer, and it was like Keegan Thompson. It was like one of those memes where it's like the Bleacher Report thing. It's like I want to put the word that I'm back or something like that, and it's like Keegan Thompson over the last two games,
We might
and it
have to
was just
get
one of the Cubs trolls.
one of those Cubs trolls accounts on the pod and just do like a blank screen, like a no camera on, like voice filter, just to ask Nico Hoehner's dog like some questions about his motives. Because I don't know. I'm assuming he's still not he or she is still anonymous.
I think so, yeah. And
Yeah.
it's funny because like he would obviously, me and you know that he's like a troll or whatever, he or she is a troll. And like he would like break fake Cubs news like over the off season. And like I would be getting like the texts like or the DM or the tweets like sent to me like, do we think this is something? Do we think this is something? Because at this point, you know, Cubs Twitter will believe in anything because a cat broke the Yu Darvish news a couple of years ago. So,
And Lisa broke the Bellinger news.
yes. So we'll believe anything. If Nico Hoehner's dog is breaking that Shohei Ohtani's on a flight to Chicago, you know, a good quarter of Cubs fans would be like, holy shit.
Robert Hrzebak going to Toronto. Yeah, Kevin O'Leary's coming to Chicago. Jeez, Mark Cuban's on his way to L.A. Now that was
Yeah.
that that's a time in our baseball fandom we choose to forget. We'll never
That's a
talk about
time.
that again.
That's a time we'll never get back.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And the rest of the offseason worked out. Hey, apparently we got the best free agent signing, not free agent signing. We got the best trade in the league.
Maybe.
I don't see Shohei with six home runs yet.
I don't either.
Mm-mm.
I don't. Teoscar Hernandez might have six home runs.
He might.
Who
He
else
was really
isn't?
hot.
Matt Chapman doesn't have six home runs yet.
Nope. Nope.
Who else?
Blake Snell doesn't have six home runs yet.
No. Jordan Montgomery hasn't played a game yet.
No, he hasn't. No
No.
way. No. Justin Turner, not six home runs. Rhys
No.
Hoskins, no.
No.
Mookie, yes. But, like, do we ever think we're going to get Mookie? No.
I mean, just put Rhys Hoskins against the Mets and he's going to hit 40 home runs.
Do you see that Rhys Hoskins said that when he returned to Philly, he expects to get booed? No, it was really wholesome. Like all the Phillies fans in the comments were like, no, why? Like it was sweet. Now they're gonna cheer him on even louder. He might have been playing the long game.
I think he was just being too nice. He is going to get the biggest standing ovation of all time from a former Philly. It's not like he went to like the Mets or
No.
Nationals or Braves. He just went to middle of buttfuck Wisconsin.
It's not like Saquon Barkley.
Oh,
That's gonna be bad. On the
that's going to
opposite
be
effect, it's gonna be
interesting.
New Yorkers hating on the Philly fans. We'll get to that and
Oh,
more on
old
this
man
next
yells at
edition.
cloud.
That this next edition of 335, the Bears po Chicago Bears podcast. We'll be back next week on Tuesday. Have fun watching the rest of this Diamondback series, and as the Cubs head home this weekend to take on the Miami Marlins, one of the worst teams in the National League. We'll see if the Cubs can pull off another Wrigley Field sweep. Ben, let's watch some Cubs. Let's watch some Diamondbacks. Thank you for listening to 120.